We just fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. We're so grateful we don't have to do this life alone, but that you have our steps ordered of the Lord. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. And we just thank you that we can rest in trusting you every step of the way. Amen? Amen? Amen. Here we go.
Staring into your eyes makes my heart come alive. Suddenly it brought to life when I met you. Reaching me on the skies, running deep, stretching wide. Perfect love realized here with you.
Amen. Give him praise this morning. Amen. 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 I want you to do me a favor. I know it's kind of an awkward start, but I want you to reach over your hands towards Miss Cheryl right now. She's fighting something. Okay. Jesus, in the name that's above every name, we declare health and healing over her body right now. Devil, you're a liar. She is healthy and she is whole because she is in you. Father, we thank you from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We speak health and healing by the authority that only comes through Christ. And Father, we thank you that it's in Christ's name that she is healed. Body, line up now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your presence that's moving over her now. Your healing presence moving through her body right now in Jesus' name. We bind you, enemy. We bind fear and we apply faith in Christ in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No weapon formed against her will prosper. Her body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. She is chosen. She is a royal priesthood. Father, we thank you that she is what God has said she is. And that includes health and healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that by your stripes we are healed. It's your word. So we declare that now over her body. Vessels, muscles, blood, line up in Jesus' name. I thank you that she has eyes that see. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we will praise you at all times. Your praise will be continually on our lips. Father, I praise you right now that you have formed her wonderfully, beautifully. And that means that you have healing formed for her in Jesus' name. We come in agreement by authority of Christ Jesus. Every place that he shed his blood, every place that he was beaten, it brought healing to the body of Christ. And Cheryl is yours. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I speak Jesus over her now. The purifier. The cleanser. The healer. Jesus. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you are in this place, in this moment, right now. God, I thank you that we would know this truth. And now, God, I pray that you would manifest yourself in Cheryl's body now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus, your name is higher, bigger, greater, stronger. God, I thank you that you bring your shalom, your all fullness of peace and wholeness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We believe it. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. But we expect God's word to come through. Truth. Amen. Amen. I will extol the Lord at all times. Psalms 34. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for it this morning. We declare your praises today. And God, I thank you that as we declare your praises, you said you inhabit us. Father, we're ready for that. We're ready for that touch today, God. I thank you in this room is a place of health and healing. Father, we thank you that in this place our souls are renewed. Father, I thank you that our bodies are made whole in Jesus' name. I thank you that our minds are made whole and complete in you. Because of Jesus in this place, in this moment, and in this time. God, we declare it now in Jesus' name. No weapon formed, no weapon formed, no fear, all faith in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are moving and doing. We thank you for great miracles that are taking place, in this moment, because you're here. And when you are here, miracles happen in Jesus' name. Father, we declare it today. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify your name. Come on, somebody say amen in Jesus' name. Come on, give them rejoice, rejoice. We praise you, Lord. We rejoice in you, God. We praise you, Lord. We rejoice in you, Lord. We will rejoice in you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name, Master, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after. Sing it out, Jesus.
Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will
sing it again, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 3, Paul was praying. He said, because Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth, and I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, it's free.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Lord, we trust You. We place our trust in You completely. Completely, we trust You, Lord. You are trustworthy. You are faithful. You sent Jesus so that we would not have to be without the Father. But now we can boldly enter into the throne room of grace. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You that You confirm Your word. We thank You for signs following Your word. We trust You, we trust You, we trust You. There's one place that I desire to live in the presence of the Lord, to live in Your house all my days. In Your presence, there's no fear. There's no guilt. There's no shame. But we are confident in who we are in You, Jesus. Amen. Lord, we thank You for Your presence this morning. Lord, we thank You, we thank You.
Because I've seen the faithfulness of God still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of Your word.
Declare the battle won. Declare the
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I woke up this morning singing, "Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness." We set our sights on what is above. We set our sights on heaven. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, not what is going on here. Lord, we thank you that our reality is you and what you've said and who you say we are. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. A joint heir with Jesus. Lord, give us revelation of what that means. A joint heir with Jesus. Do you deal with this stuff when you work? What does a joint heir exactly mean? Do you have like...
An heir means that you get to inherit what the person deceased had. So if you were a joint heir, you and the other heir would get everything that they had equal.
That's from a lawyer's lips. Joint heir with Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So all of it belongs to us. Everything that he did.
Amen.
Amen. I need to declare this from Scripture. Someone in here really needs this today. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. He spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings the princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creature and creator of the ends of the earth. He will not go tired or weary, and his understanding none can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Praise you, Father. Amen. 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 We declare, we come in agreement with that word that's declared right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you. We're reminded over and over again that, God, you have defeated the enemy. Sin and death has been broken over our lives with Christ. Father, we thank you that we have been made joint heirs. That the inheritance of who you are is in us. And that your word says yes and amen to every promise, every place that you went and conquered through Christ. We receive it today in Jesus' name. Again, we declare there is healing in this room because you're in this room. Father, we declare that there's healing in our bodies, healings in our minds, and that we allow you to renew our soul in this place. God, we don't take it lightly. We believe and know that you are here. That when you say you're present, omnipresent, that means you're here. You're in the room. And where you are, there's freedom, wholeness, and completeness. God, we thank you for that truth. We receive it. Mind, be renewed to it. Soul, surrender to it. It's God's word. God, we thank you for this day. For today is a day that you have made. Today is a day of new beginning. Today is a day of restoration. Today is a day of health and healing. Because with you, today is the day. And you're here. Father, we love you and we praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. Thank you for defeating the devil once and for all over our lives. May we never give him rule. May we always let you, God, be higher, bigger, greater. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give a praise. We declare it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Make sure you turn to your neighbor and tell him Jesus is here. You, by the way, if you feel led to pray for somebody, go right ahead. God's power and presence is moving, so amen.
Hard to be patient sometimes, isn't it? Waiting for the healing. But it's coming. Can trust in that, right?
Yeah.
Very short this morning from Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, what do we treasure? What do we really treasure? We treasure health when we don't have it. When we have it, well, then it's a little easy to look past, isn't it? Take it for granted. Yeah, right now it's hard to do that. But it is what we should be, you know, we shouldn't be worried about other things. We should take care of our relationship with God first, take care of family, take care of loved ones, and worry about spring getting here a different day. But isn't it just something these last, like, 3 weeks for me, it's just been like, what are we not doing that we can't get to the next level? What is with the health issues and even the feeling of seasons and just things that just, it's just something unfinished or something. But I don't have an answer. I just have the question. Sorry. I don't know. I just feel that way. So we'll just go ahead with the words before we get too far away. According to God's word, let's confess and claim together. Raises and bonuses, gifts and unexpected income, increase in sales and commissions, new clients and customers, inheritances, hidden resources, inventions, new business opportunities, lost or stolen items returned, checks in the mail, investment growth, promotions and advancement, supernatural favor, and an abundance to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Father, we thank you so much for what you've surrounded us with that we can value, Lord, that is a creation of you. The family and friends that you've given us, And yet that at times when we need them and when we can be encouraging at other times, Lord, we just thank you for that interaction. And we thank you that for the congregation here, Lord, the family. I don't think anyone even says congregation in this church anymore, Lord. It's just we thank you for the family of believers here, Lord. And in a time of need, we just hope that we can help one another out, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. A couple quick announcements as we move forward. How's everybody doing, by the way? Good? It's kind of it's this cool presence thing, and it's like, well, what do? Well, we can be comfortable in His presence. We should be comfortable in His presence. It's okay. It's awesome. This is what He desires for us to kind of function and move in His presence. Isn't that cool? So we get to learn that today. We get to walk in that today. How many know that church is a good place to learn that kind of stuff? Amen? And then we can take it home and learn it there as well. And then we can activate it outside of those places. So it's good. Amen? And I want to say thank you to you. Because what we know is true is that the anointing is amazing. And what happens is when you come and you bring your willingness to dig in and to give your gifts of praise and rejoicing, that corporate anointing comes together, and that's where God's presence really can resonate and really can move. And so what that means is that it kind of turbo boosts His power and presence in our life. Anyone like that?
Yes.
I do. I'm like, yes, awesome. Amen. And so you brought that. You helped bring that. So continue to seek into that, and we know God's going to do some great things. And He is doing great things. Amen? Amen. Okay, so there are just a couple things that I want to just announce very quickly, and that is that we are requesting, how many know that Resurrection Sunday is coming very soon, and we're excited to celebrate with that, and of course we like to do something special for the kids, and so we do an egg hunt, and so we have some empty eggs out in the foyer. And we're asking you that you might grab a bag of those and then fill them with candy and then bring them back. And then we can have an egg hunt for our kiddos. Now, you know, I have to describe this. I have to share this every year to make sure we're understanding. We do not believe in Easter bunnies and, I don't know, what are little chicks and birdies and all of those things. We believe in what the resurrection is. It was is the resurrection of Christ. Jesus came, lived and died and rose again so we could have life. Amen? But what we know about this world and this age is that people often, because of this year that set us, this moment that set aside, there are people more compelled to come and hear the truth on these different holidays that we celebrate. So we want to entice them to come so they can hear the word. And understand that what we do is that the egg is not, we don't worship the egg. Come on. I like eggs. But it's not the egg. But it may be the vehicle in which connects someone with Christ. And they're like, how can a little egg do that? That's pagan. That's, I know. But God can do anything. If we'll determine, this is anointed plastic eggs to open the way for God to speak to their hearts. And so that's why we do it. And until God tells us otherwise, we'll continue to press on and do that. And there are times when He says don't, and do this and do this, and we want to be obedient to that. But we feel like this is a good time. I feel like this is an okay time to continue to go forth, because we need to somehow reach the lost. And if they come because of a silly egg, cool. Amen? However God's going to use it. And I believe that in Jesus' name. So help us to do that. So as you're filling the eggs, some of them we've had a couple of years, so they're a little loose. So if you could put a little piece of tape and hold them so they don't just break open all over the place, that'd be very helpful. Pray over your eggs.
Wrapped candies.
Yeah, no, don't. Yeah. But pray over, make sure you're praying over these things. It's not the thing. Paul prayed over handkerchiefs and people got healed. The fact is, he would walk, his shadow would bring health and healing. So it's not uncommon that God can use unusual things for his purpose. And so that's what we're declaring. So again, we're praying over these things. We're putting God in the midst of it. So just help us with that. Those are out in the lobby. There's a little box in there. Just grab a bag. I think, how many is in each bag?
100.
Okay, so there are 100 bags. And there's, I think, a total of 800. 850. So if you have eggs or you want to get some, I was hoping that we'd have about 1,000 eggs to go for the kids. And so think about that. So if you're like, I want to get my own eggs, go for it. Do that and fill them up. That'd be great. But tape them. Like my wife said, make sure they're not, you know, individual unwrapped candies are wrapped and they're all that good stuff. Sound good?
Money and toys are good.
Yeah, sir. Absolutely. Somebody every year for a long time put a $100 bill in one of the eggs. Yeah, that's awesome. That's talk about investing into the kingdom. All right, so so who knows? Maybe 14 of you want to do that. I don't know. Maybe. amen. Also, next week is Breakfast Sunday, Fellowship Sunday. So come. Right, that's next week, right? Is next week April already? Wow. Isn't that cool? Wow. Why is that cool? It's almost summer. All right, now, anyway, we're excited for summer. At least I am. So Fellowship Sunday. Next week is also Family Sunday, and we'll also be receiving communion. So all of this is happening next week, so make sure you come and be a part of that. Also, I remind you, I don't know if you know this, but you know, over the years, we haven't had the opportunity to have someone in the office all of the time. We do now. And so I want to remind you that Wednesdays and Thursdays, the church is open from 9 in the morning till 3 for sure. And so you can come anytime and you can talk to myself or one of the other people that are here, Pastor Tara, Miss Tracy, and pray with you. Or if you want to come and just pray, it's open. It's come on over. So I want to remind you of that. Excited about that. We also will be answering the phone. So I know that's a miracle for some. We'll be answering the phones, and so we're excited about that. And so that's awesome. So just remind you of that. And then finally, I want to remind you of our midweek link, a great connection time, and a good time to learn more, kind of get into the depths a little bit more in some of the Word, and maybe some of the things we won't be able to accomplish on a format like this. We can get better in a kind of a round table situation. So that's how we do the adults class. And then of course the youth group, they do music, and we have some young people that are coming up and learning how to play instruments, and excited about that. And that next generation of worship team is getting built up and growing, so we're excited about that. Of course they have an awesome time there. So and then we have a class for our littles, and we love that because it's important to teach and train our children. Amen? So we have all of these things happening on Wednesday nights. And we have all of these things happening, and it's because we want to make sure that we are pushing forward and pressing into what God has. And so, anyway, I invite you to be a part of those things and invite others and bring them with you, and we can do the same together. Amen? Okay, all of our kids, we're going to let your kids come up. We want to pray over our children so we can allow them to go to class if they want to come to class. So come on up, kids. Yeah, cheer our kids on as they come. Yay, we love you. Pretty sure we have the best looking kids. And they are anointed, aren't they? And they're appointed and they're world changers because God declares that over them. Amen. Hey, how many of you kids love Jesus? Raise your hand. Woo, 100%. Hallelujah. That's good. Amen. Reach out your hands to our kids. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you for our children. God, we thank you for them, that they're here on purpose. God, I know they came because their parents are here, but I believe they came for even bigger reason, purpose. Father, they have anointing on their lives. Father, that everything they put their hand to prospers. I thank you that they will bring life to us through your word. And now I declare that they will fulfill the call and the destiny that you have created for them. that, Father, no weapon formed against him would prosper. I think they're mighty warriors.
Yes.
Father, I pray that their minds and their hearts hear your word today. And as they hear it, they'll use it and apply it. Father, I thank you for the teachers that are willing to invest into them. God, I pray that they speak your words. And as they do, Father, they too will be blessed by it. So, Father, we thank you for our children. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We love you, kids. You're awesome. We love the Ritz family. Thanks for teaching, training. She's teaching them law back there. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor. Stand up and greet each other. I miss the greeting. So just, if you can stand, stand. If you can't, you can't. Walk over to someone, say hello, and welcome them, and love on them, and just take a minute there. You're good. Amen. I love being able to fellowship. We haven't gotten to do that enough, and I love that we can do that. Amen? That's a good thing. It's valuable today. It's so valuable. Amen? Amen. Pastor Tara and Phil, we're not done. They're leaving. We haven't closed yet. I'm just kidding. I thought I'd make it awkward. Okay, there we go. Good. I just set the stage. No one better leave now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I won't do that except for Steve. No, I. No, it's a joy to be here. And I'm hoping we're understanding that we can be comfortable. We've had some cool things happen. God has moved and done some things today. And he will continue to do that. And we should be comfortable. And this is what I keep hearing. We got to become more comfortable. Brian was talking about, you know, we're going to push through. And what's that next thing? And maybe one of them is just to be comfortable in his presence. And to make it not be a foreign thing, but a normal thing. So that he can move. So we can hear. And so we can listen and obey and all of those things. Amen? I'm daring to believe that that's happening in my life, in this church, in our family, amen? And I believe that God wants that so desperately. In fact, I know he does because he sent Christ for it. That was a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Okay, just making sure we're still here. All right, good, amen. Well, we are starting a new series this week. And to start the series, we need to turn to Romans chapter 12 first. To kind of lay the groundwork, I will let you know that today's sermon is basically an introduction to the whole sermon and so the whole series. So we're going to talk a little bit. So it's going to be a little more preachy today, less teaching, a little more reminders. And also, how many know that a pastor is placed to help bring encouragement and to bring teaching and to bring encouragement, encourage to change and to grow into more of Christ. Amen. I'm just reminding you of these things so that when I'm saying these things, you don't get angry with me. But this is what God has for pastors to help train us, much like a teacher, much like a parent would. And I'm not pretending to be everybody's parent. I could never parent Matt. He is, yes. Anyway, he's a blessing. and so I'm saying all that because I'm trying to lay the groundwork to hopefully you guys will still love me when we're done. Because I do believe God has some training today, wants them to learn some things, and wants us to learn some things and hear some things. And so I'm going to ask you to kind of subconsciously, I want you to take off the offense coat and put on the I'm ready for the righteousness coat. Amen. Okay? Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you that even already you have moved in great ways. Again, we declare, we haven't forgotten, Father. We believe and declare that your word is true, that by your stripes, Cheryl is healed. Yes. Father, I thank you that not only is she healed, but each person in here that needs a touch from you on their bodies. Yes. Father, I also believe that your healing touch can bring renewed minds and restorations to relationships. And I know that's your desire. And so we pray that in this moment, in this day. I pray that, Father, my words would be your words, that as the seeds are sown of your word, that it would grow in us, flourish. And so, Father, we just rest in that, knowing and believing that, God, you are here in the midst. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Are you Romans chapter 12 yet? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Most of you have heard this, I'm sure. I'm reading from the NIV. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I first of all want us to see that God's will is good. It's perfect and it's pleasing. However, it doesn't always mean it's going to be pleasurable. But it's always good and for good purpose. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the things of the world. The mindsets of the world is what he's talking about. And now you're saying, well, how could he think of these things? Now, he's never been in 2022 when it's a lot of crazy going on in the world. Yet there was a lot of crazy going on in his time for sure. And see, God's word is timeless. It doesn't gap in its need for understanding. And so in that same way, in that same heart that he wrote this to the Romans, he's writing this to us today to do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Today, we are starting a series called We Rewire. Rewire. Now, I know nothing about electricity except for that it can kill you if you're not careful. I know that it's electrifying. I let our friend Phil take care of all the electrical things because I want to make sure that I can stand up here and still do what I do. It's smart to do that. But what I realize and understand is as we go through life, there's some things that we've been wired for in from the world that are not true for the believer. And in fact, when I'm reading this, it kind of can get you upset. Like, why have I believed this lie? Why have I let the world, the enemy, self, or whatever, wire me to think in a certain way when God clearly says that's not the truth? Can somebody say amen? Can anyone relate to the frustration of the wiring of the world in my life? Now, when I'm talking about the world, can you please take that person's face off? Now, will you look at the enemy? Because it's important, if we're not careful, we can miss this so big by saying, yeah, the world, and we can put a picture of that person. No, that's dangerous, because now we are cursing God's kid that he created to not want to know him. But we can say, I'm going to put, the Bible clearly says, I wrestle not against people, faces. I wrestle against the spirit of wickedness, the enemy himself. Amen? All right, I'm a little fired up. I'm hoping that it electrifies you today with the truth of God's word. Because the heart is this. God needs us to get this. He needs us to rewire our hearts and our minds to his word, period. We need it. We cannot live without it. If we don't allow God to do it in us, we will always be tossed to and fro. It doesn't mean that when we get this, the waves are still not going to crash around us, but we serve a God that says we can walk on that wave. We serve a God that has spread the sea. We serve a God that can calm a storm. And you're like, I don't understand. I don't either. But what God says is, if I will renew my mind to his truth, he said it. Not pastor, not people. It was God's word who said it. If you will renew it, it will be done in your life, period. Because he already paid for it. We have to renew this to this. This is what this series is about. And there's going to be some course correction that we're all going to have to be willing to take. Some mindsets that are going to have to be broken. Some belief systems that we're going to have to lay at the cross of the Father today. Some ideas and some concepts that may feel warm and fuzzy, but we might find out and realize that they're just lies of the enemy. Arguments that are compelling, yet they're not truthful. This is what the world offers. This is what the enemy offers. Lies after lies after lies. And we need to renew our mind to the word. Amen? Change is part of a growth process. Change is growth. If we don't have change, there's no growth. Right? Make sense? Change is not always comfortable. I don't like change. I didn't like when my kids grew up. When they were two, I was like, oh, Lord, let them grow up. And now they're 22, 24, 20, whatever. They're like, I'm like, no, don't let them grow up. Change is hard. But it's good. Because if I were to say today, my oldest son, he's 31? Looking to my help here. 31. And if I showed a picture and he was the size of Ashlyn, you might be a little concerned for my son. Right? Be like, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. In order to mature, we have to change. We have to grow. Change can be uncomfortable. It's not always fun, but it's necessary in our lives. And so often we see things in our life, and we see things in our marriage, we see things in our finances, and we identify all of these problems. Man, this is a problem. This is a problem. We look, I want this problem to be gone. But we neglect to understand that the root of it might be something that we need to change. Make sure you love me still. So the challenge of change is this: to identify the root and the source of the problem, and to make the change. Not just recognize the change, but to actually make a change. The seeing part is a lot of times easy. Especially when they're looking at someone else's life. It's easy to find the thing that they need to change. Maybe not for you. But I'm tempted that way. And then I get to look in the mirror, and I'm like, oh man. Change is important, but how do we do change? Change is not just doing something different. Change is changing something in our heart so that we operate differently. There's something that can change in our heart, and I believe we need to start at the heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. It goes on to say, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It starts at the heart. If I understand what the word is saying about the heart, it's important. Now there's a verse in Jeremiah that I'm not a favorite of. It says that the heart is deceitful. I'd like to remove that one. So what is the heart? What is the heart? If it's deceitful, but if we guard it, everything we flow is from it. So we want to look at the heart and see how we can face this. It's not what others do to you or what circumstances you are facing or circumstances that you are currently facing that should determine your mood or your attitudes or your emotions. I believe that what we believe and think after these things happen will create what we are. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Let me read. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm not meaning to pick on women, but I have an illustration. Before I say all of this, I'll say that this is not my wife. And this is not how I believe women are. But there's an illustration, you could say, of a woman who is becoming antagonistic towards her husband. To the place where she is like, you know, short, angry, bitter. And she's like, what? Like, naggy. But if we at first glance, especially you're looking, you're like, man, that why is she being like? I said something a few weeks ago, and I remind you, hurt people usually hurt people. And dug down in the surface was not that she was a bad person, but there was somewhere in her heart that had been hurt. And in that heart that was hurt, understand that maybe her husband or somebody had some kind of similarity personality trait that immediately reminded her of her father who might have abused her physically, verbally, whatever. Now, it was a character trait. It wasn't that the husband was doing that, but there was something that sparked up that brought within her something to say, almost like it was a mechanism to protect her from what had hurt her. And if we're not careful, we would judge that person and say, boy, she's just a blah, 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 blah. But there may be something in her heart that was hurt. We don't know where people are. We don't know what they've experienced. I know this, that I've experienced some really crummy things in life. And I know that I'm not privileged enough to be the only one to experience crummy things in life. But why do we forget that when we look at other people? It starts in the heart. And this young lady that I'm talking about hypothetically had a heart problem. But guess what? Probably the husband had a heart problem too, because probably what happened is he responded after the way he responded for something that happened to him. And the cycle continues because the heart has been affected. God wants to heal the heart. But we also know that God, when we are created a new creation in Christ, asks us to do some things to help heal our heart. That we are a new creation in Christ in our spirit, but there is something that we have to do as a believer to walk in. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, 12, 2, to no longer conform to the pattern of the world. No longer conform to the patterns of the past, but to be renewed from the Word. From His Word, His truth. Amen? Here's a process. I want to try to lay out this process. The process is this, and some of you can agree or some would not. This process that I've required, not just biblically, but there are some people that are much smarter than me that would come up with this idea when they're studying the brain, the mind, and the mental capacities, psychology of people. And the process of our heart is this, that information and experiences in our life equal or begin to build the belief system that we walk out. Information and experiences develop beliefs. Now, I want you to realize this for a moment. Ashlyn is our only baby in the place, so she gets to get chosen as an illustration. But she doesn't believe because she's getting thoughts in her mind. She doesn't learn and grow because she's just getting thoughts. She's learning and growing because mama is teaching her things. Daddy is teaching her things. And she's experiencing life. And experiencing life and the information that's taught to her will be the very thing that begins to build a belief system in her. Now, statistically... They say, all those doctors and awesome people that are really smart, that say from the ages of 5 to 12 are what they call the formative years, where your belief system is formed in that time frame. Now, these are not just secular doctors. These are Christian doctors, scientists. And they're saying that these moments and these times are the things. Now, if you thought that thoughts were the things that were making you do things, we understand now the science says that it's the experience, it's the information that we've been given that creates a belief system. After we have the belief system, it's in that belief system that thoughts become formed. If you believe a certain way, you will begin to think a certain way. Now, the best way to understand this is, I don't know if you understand the algorithms of social media, but they've created the algorithm to support your belief. And so it's like, what? How come when I'm flipping through, all of a sudden, all the things I was talking about last week? Because they know if they can fortify your belief system, then they can continue to throw thoughts so you'll continue to buy or accept whatever they want you to accept. It's a lie. It's a setup. Now, I like social media. I enjoy getting to correlate with people, but understand the concept. And the concept is spiritual. And the concept is scientific. God created it that way, that information and experiences develop a belief system. But and then that belief system will be, so the enemy does very works overtime to throw thoughts to support a bad belief, and he'll throw thoughts to help to push away the good belief, a godly belief, we'll say. After we have thoughts, we have beliefs, we have thoughts, then we develop an attitude and an action. The attitudes and the action come from the thoughts, which first came from the beliefs, which first came from the information that we and experiences that we had. So my belief, not my circumstance, determine my attitude and my actions. Do you hear that? My belief system determines those things. Now praise be to God that he says we can renew our mind. That we're a new creation in Christ. You know, it's not like we're all lost, but we are without him. He's the great physician that changes those things and gives us a reset button called Jesus. And thanks that he's also said, not only am I going to reset, you're a new creation, but now I'm going to give you the words of wisdom so you can walk it out so that you'll rewire your soul and your body to the spirit that's new and born in you. If we have a brand new spirit, but we don't let him renew our mind and our body, guess what happens? We walk in the old, not in the new. Because my belief system causes my thoughts, and my thoughts bring my attitudes and my actions. And finally, it is the result or the outcome. So the devil didn't make me do it. Where was my belief system? Now don't worry. I'm stepping on my toes. And if you want to jump in, that's fine too. But I want us to see something today. I want us to see that it's not our fault that we're not messed up people, but some experiences, some information has been wrong that's been placed in us. Now, I said at the beginning, take away the face, because it's the enemy's plan all along. Why? The enemy's doing it because he knows that he's already lost. He has a true belief. God already said, Satan, you've been defeated. Period. And he wasn't excited about that thought. And so his hope is that he's going to take as many lies, going to give as many lies to take as many out with us, with him. Our beliefs are important. Our beliefs are key. Our beliefs are beliefs are determine my attitudes, my actions. Our actions are not always, by the way, a product of our conscious thinking. Think for a moment. If you're out for a nice stroll, a walk, and all of a sudden you're walking down the road and you see this big Rottweiler come charging at you. The belief about what that dog is will determine your action. Now for me, I happen to know someone, a relative that has one that is the sweetest dog that would lick you to death. And so when I see it, I might be like, oh, come here, goo, 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 goo. Why? Because my information and my experience is sweet. Your experience might be different than that. And that might be, you might be like, I don't even like dogs. Every time I go for a walk, they chase me. And you begin to think, and we subconsciously at times think these things. So our belief systems aren't always, the actions aren't always conscious. Sometimes their subconscious. But it doesn't mean they can't be changed. But it does take an action, a belief, and a truth to do that. So you might be thinking dogs are bad. I might be thinking dogs are awesome. You might be thinking little dogs are cute and big dogs are bad, or vice versa, with whatever experience you've had. And cats are the devil, so we don't talk about that. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Just wanted to catch your... I apologize for all you cat lovers. Pray for you. No, I'm just kidding. Stop it. Okay. Many of us have formed beliefs that affect us every day. Many of us have completely unaware of all of the influence and the power of our belief system. And this is why I believe that God is reminding us about the heart. Because he says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, life can flow through it. So this is a life experience, but God's in the, he's in the business of restoring and healing hearts. But he's asked us to do it, to participate with him to do that. And we can use we are to use the opportunities of the Word of God to change things. We all have weird thoughts in times. I'm sure some here have thought, I'm not smart. I bind that in Jesus' name. I'm speaking to myself as well. Maybe academics, but it doesn't mean we're not smart. Do you know that you breathe by the smartness of our brain that God's built in us? That we walk and we talk and we do all of these things. That's intelligence. That's God intelligence in us. So we're all smart. And in fact, the Bible says we can have the mind of Christ. Amen? Now, I want to remind you also that those things that we think we can't do, God says we can do. And so understand this. But now listen, if we're not careful, if I don't use this mentality right, I'll become a victim, and I'll become a victim mentality type individual. Where we're walking and it can come to the place in our lives where we persistently think that actions of others cause us to be unhappy. Other situations, things that are coming, are doomed because that's just all that there is. And we become a perpetual victim. God didn't create that. God said, you're more than a conqueror. Right? So if we find ourselves in a place where we're like, I feel like the victim, then we need to renew our hearts to his word, renew our minds to his word. Victims blame others or circumstances for their moods. But as a believer, we can take responsibility for our actions. And if we find ourselves doing actions that aren't responsible, we can renew our mind to God's word and his truth, so that we can change those actions. Amen? Amen? Praise God, he didn't just leave us. He's like, oh man, those guys are messed up. I'm going to work on these guys. No, he didn't do that. He gave us the ability to read his word. He gave us his word to read and to obey, to be instructed by, so that we could change the deceitful heart to a heart that seeks after the Father. And when we do, the actions will begin to change because the information and the experiences are new and they begin to change. Only God can do it, but he wants to do it. Amen? There is a author, he's a psychiatrist. He's also a Jewish man, and he found himself in Hitler's concentration camps. And he writes a book. It's called The Man's Search for Meaning. It's not a Christian book, but it uses some principles of interest and applied to the things of God. And this is one thing he says. Now, he was interviewed, or others were interviewed about him. Now, I don't know if you know about the concentration camp, and I don't want to glorify it, but there's a lot of junk that happened, some horrific things that happened. And there are people that were thrown into prison and tortured and beaten, and there were people that just had no hope. But there were some that, for whatever reason, had some hope, had some rise up in them. And this psychiatrist was one of them. His name was Viktor Frankl. And they interviewed the guards after it was all done. They interviewed the guards like, why is this guy, why is he so positive in the middle of this stuff? Why is he, and if you read the book, he did some really cool things, helped a lot of men and women not commit suicide by just bringing hope, and helped to bring in. They're like, ask, well, how does this happen? And he goes, the guards could control how much pain I was in. They could torture me. They could deny me food. But they could never control my thoughts, because my thoughts were set on higher things. Corrie ten Boom, she says, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. It all depends on where you put your eyes. If your beliefs are irrational view of reality of life, then life itself will be distorted. In other words, if we have a view of the world and the things of the world, the world, our outview will be distorted, not hopeful. So I don't know if you know this or if you picked this up, but God has had us on a journey at the beginning of this year. The very first word he said for the year was to expect the unexpected, to begin to renew our mind. We've been coming off of a couple years of a lot of junk, and God is trying to lift the lid of back on hope again. And then he says to seek and look and expect and hope for divine encounters, something that will encounter us. Again, it's lifting the lid of hope to say there is a God who loves me, who cares for me, and wants to speak to me. And now he's saying we need to rewire that truth in our minds, in our hearts. Because this is what we know. Circumstances, probably in the natural, in this world, until we reach heaven, will not be better every day. We're going to have some wins, praise God. We're going to have some good things that happen, praise the Lord. We're going to have some monumental, awesome things that go on, yes. But generally, we know what the Word says, that the world is decaying and dying. And so the truth of it is they're not going to always have great days, but we can have a great day because Jesus is always good. But you know what? That doesn't happen by accident. That doesn't just happen by me accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's the entry to say, yes, I believe that you are my Savior. Now I will follow you all of the days of my life. In other words, I will walk in your truths. I will listen to your word. I will obey your word. I will do what you've called me to do so I can enjoy the freedom that comes in Christ. Does that make sense? Again, it's not a sit back and, okay, just bless me. We're supposed to participate in this thing. Now, his part is much bigger. Because he's bigger, greater. He just asked for a little bit. Think about tithing. He only asked for 10, not 90. So God will do the 90. He's just asking for 10 of us. 10%, something for us to say, willingness. But there, it says that he will bless those who give, participate, exercise in it. And so if I find myself in a place where I'm not seeing, then I'm wondering, am I participating? If I'm not participating, that means it's my actions are not lining up. So something I have to back up and see, okay, what were my thoughts? Okay, those weren't good thoughts. Okay, let me back up. What was happening? Oh, it was some information and experiences that I need to rewire that developed a belief in me. Now, this is not easy, especially when you're facing difficulties. No one knows that better than my mom-in-law here. thankfully, information and experiences beyond the stroke have led her to the place of belief that with God all things are possible. And so instead of giving up, she is pushing forward. Why? Because she has a belief in Christ Jesus. It's the belief that drove the action. You don't have an action without belief first. And she had the belief and the understanding. But you know what's interesting? She certainly didn't, if you know her story, she certainly didn't grow up that way. If she were to walk in the belief in how she was raised and what she experienced as a child, she would not be here today. Period. Her beliefs in God, she allowed herself, her mind to be renewed to His truths, changed the information now, replaced the old with the new, the experiences of God in her life, the divine encounters and all the things that God's done in her life through from beginning to end now, where she sees the grace and the mercy of God, those now become to think, hey, God is good. That's the thoughts. God's good. And now the attitude in her heart is, God is good. And now when she's facing difficulties and challenge, instead of getting really depressed and bummed out, you know what she does? She laughs at herself when she makes a mistake or something. It's amazing what we can do. Now, we can't do it without Him. But see, I want to remind you of something that's really cool. We can't get over spiritual on this thing. God did create your brain. And so we can use this brain for His good and His glory. And that was the intent all along. So we can't be scared of the science of our brain. We understand that science is God. Right? And so we understand that the belief system, we have to be careful that we don't allow outside sources to be our belief system. We have to let God be our belief system. I wrote here, external factors don't make us happy or sad. We have the joy of the Lord. That's what Scripture says. We have the joy of the Lord. Doesn't mean I always feel happy. But externally, if I'm not changing my belief and renewing my mind, external factors will make me happy or sad. Does that make sense? I don't like to live that way. That's like a roller coaster. I don't like to be that kind of person because no one wants to be around that kind of person. I never know whether I'm going to get with that one. Right? So understand that we have to rewire. I'm talking about rewiring. We have to rewire our brains, our understanding of what it is. Circumstance, outside factors should not, cannot affect our happiness. Only what we allow to do that. And if we finding our place, there's no condemnation, but if we find our place in that and you're like, there's something better, then we go to the Word again and say, okay, I want to get this because I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being tossed to and fro. Now, I know the world's not going to change, but I can change despite the world. Right? It's what we believe about the circumstance that drives the emotion. Now, I'm not saying we're like, yippee, I can't wait for problems. Yay. Sickness and disease, yay, come on. No, of course not. And if we're being honest or real, that could be a little bit of a, poof, you're like, oh. But what it should do is, if we read the Word, it should be the help fuel us to step in to the power and the promises of who God says we are. To use that as motivator, not the thing that puts us out. Does that make sense? But listen, we got to do this now before we're facing it. So that when we are faced with something, we're not moved. When we are facing a place right now, and just call the elephant in the room here, We're seeing a lot of things in the natural that aren't lining up with God's word, even in our churches. Brian already mentioned this. People are sick. You're like, what's going on? It would be tempting to let those experiences determine God and what he does in those times. This is where we have to be extra, extra careful to protect our heart. To be extra careful what we see, what we hear, what we say. In those moments when we don't understand, it's not go for answers, it's go for the answer. To seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Wildernesses are crummy and dry, but I believe that through every wilderness is a flowing river of life. We have to be careful that we don't let the circumstances of the world, the influences of the world, the influences of my heart, to not let them change what God's word says for me, for us. Does that make sense today? Kind of doing some heart surgery on myself today. It's important to reset. To rewire. Because if we're not careful, see, this is the way the enemy works. We can drift, and we can drift, and we can drift. And now all of a sudden I find, I'm like, where am I? And in case you think you're immune to it, Paul says, I do what I don't want to do. The Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote New Testament, that probably the reason we have church Christianity in our world today, because of the letters he wrote and the extent, the same guy is saying, this is, man, I don't do things. So if he's going to do it, we probably should expect that we might be tempted to do it as well. And so now I'm going to decide to think, I don't got this. God's got this. God is my very great reward. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We got to renew our mind. We have to rewire our truths. If you believe that trials and tribulations are to be avoided at all costs, then when one hits you, you will be landslided. Again, I'm not celebrating and say, yay, come on trial, come on tribulation. But we will face them in this world. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not very faithful. It is, because I can look at that thing by faith and say, shut up, thing. That's right. By the authority of Christ Jesus that lives in me, get behind me, Satan. Right? Yeah. And so understand that that comes through belief. That comes through a renewing of our mind to believe those things. Maybe, just maybe, some of the things that we have allowed in our heart might be something that we believe because we were given information, the wrong information. Don't be mad at those people. That was the enemy working. But so we go to the only thing we know is truth. We can use those things to help grow us up, right? Use it to strengthen us. Romans 8:28 says, we are sure to know that all things work together in our for good and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. This is the Amplified Version. It doesn't say God's doing this. It says that God's going to turn it. If we'll turn to him, he'll turn it. We have to become to the place where, you know, I've been accused of this before. I'm not always great at it, but sometimes you see it. And say, but you're just, why you always got to be optimistic? Why you always nice to people? The realization is this. I'm not normally nice in my natural form, but God was so nice to me. He loved me so much, he sent Jesus for me. So what do I got to be upset about? I'm saved, sanctified, chosen, redeemed. See, this is this comes through changing your belief. If you don't believe this truth, then you get into the place that tells you that's truth. Amen? Where we go matters. What we say matters. What we listen to matters. What we hang around, it does matter. It does. This is not mind over matter. This is not some new age thing. This is, God created this truth. And he said to renew my mind, to guard my eyes and my heart and my mind to the things above. Right? Because he knew the world that we were going to be in. And he says, I'm going to give you the tools. First of all, I'm going to create in you a new spirit if you receive Christ. Second of all, I'm going to deposit my very power in you. I'm going to graft you in as my very own. Now the inheritance of his truths and power and promises are now signed, sealed, and delivered in my life. He equipped us so we can move forward. We have to change our belief system. We have to rewire. At the very least, analyze to look at what we're believing. The Bible says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. And if there's anything in me that's crummy, that's my version, let me know. Reveal it to me. Anything that might be hindering me. And then when he reveals those things, we have to be willing to say, you're right. That's probably not good. I need to let go of that one. I need to stop participating in that one. I need to stop saying that one. Does that make sense? Beliefs will change the way you act and respond to everything. James 24, or verse 1, verse 2 and 4, rather. I'm going to read the Message translation. It says, consider it a sure gift, friends, when tests and challenges come to you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith like is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try and get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient, in any way. I don't like this verse. It doesn't feel faith-filled, but it actually is very faith-filled. Because the promise, he's going to take care of me. The promise is that though we're going to face it, he's on the scene. The promise is that I can, if I will not give up to it and begin to believe that, well, this is just whatever, this is the way my life's going to be, instead I can use it to fortify my faith in what God said. But it takes us changing our belief to align our understanding to his word. So then when we face a challenge or an issue, statistically, probably somebody in here did this week. In fact, I say that 2 out of 5, it's pretty good odds that somebody faced something that was a little bit unpleasant this week. We can make a decision in that time. What are we going to believe about the situation? What are we going to believe about the issue, the challenge? Don't ignore it. Buck up to it with the power of God. Yeah. Chest bump the enemy. He'll go flying back. You know when they went to arrest Jesus, and like, who do you think you are? And he says, I am. And they flew back. The guard flew back. That's how I picture wait a minute, circumstance, what a minute, enemy, what a minute, thought, what, I have the I am, chest bump, you're gone. Listen, this is our natural makeup, human natural makeup, not since the fall of man, anyway. But it can be done because God, through Christ, made it possible. But it takes work. It takes a willingness to lay down pride, thoughts, expectations. We've been talking about it for weeks now. All of those things. We're tempted to say, no, I just want to fix this. Or I just want to fix this. And that's why I think it's interesting how, you know, when Paul's writing from prison, he's talking about rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice because it's interesting because in the rejoicing in itself, it didn't really figure out his problem. He was just obedient to what he knew was true. See, David had written Psalms way ahead. Jeremiah wrote things that remind us when you're having something, I see when they praised God, it broke them free of the things. Now, it may not break free of the circumstance, but it certainly will free your heart and your mind and your perspective in the middle of the storm. What are we willing to give up? Are we ready to let God rewire our belief? Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. We need to renew our hearts to this. But Pastor, I've prayed and nothing happened. Me too. But it doesn't say, until it doesn't happen, then don't do it anymore. He starts with, have faith in God. In other words, stop looking in the eyesight of our human understanding and start moving in the Word of God. Jesus answered, I tell you, anyone says to this mountain, it's not your ability, it's His. Have faith in God. Pastor, I don't see this. I don't either. Have faith in God. But that doesn't make sense. You're right. I got to rewire my mind. But that doesn't make me feel good. You're right. I'm not moved by faith. I'm not moved by fear. I'm moved by faith. I'm not moved by feelings. I don't see this. I don't see this. Praise God. I don't see it either. Have faith in God. Does that make sense? Renewing our mind. And someone said we're just like being crazy, like you're not really facing reality. I'd rather face the realities of heaven. Because the world didn't bring me anything healthy and exciting. And it constantly tries to feed me crummy. And sometimes I buy it for a moment. And then I'm like, this is junk. And the more you renew your mind, the more we'll recognize the junk. It'll become distasteful. Doesn't taste good. That's the devil. That's the enemy. That's the world. Amen? It takes a belief change. And the belief, how we can change our beliefs is by renewing our hearts and minds. Amen? All right, that's the introduction. We're going to close. So go ahead and stand up. Just stand to your feet for me. It's going to be a good series. Can I just be honest and truthful? I will be. So over the last few weeks, I've been really working hard to try to listen to the voice of God and hear His Word and work in the sermons. And it's like, man, I was honestly, truthfully said to this, Lord, just make it be an easy one, please. Because I'm tired. Just being honest. And then He said, you know what? You better renew your mind, son. Because the world's not going to get any easier. The things we're going to face aren't going to get any easier. The sin isn't going to get any softer. All of the things of this world are going to be intensified day by day until we're not here anymore. The scripture talks about that. That there is an intensity. Now, I don't know if tomorrow's the day. That'd be great. Or if it's 1,000 years from today. I don't know when it is. But I want to be the bride that God's looking for when He shows. And He says not only will I have a promise of salvation, of heaven one day, He also says that I can even dare to believe, if I'll renew my mind to it, that I might even be able to have life here on earth, a life more abundantly even right now. The guitars, if you mute them. The belief is this. God is on the scene. And we have to be willing to say, okay, God, I need to renew my mind to your truth today. So here's the challenge as we move forward. You ready? No one likes tests. This is the challenge. Examine every belief you hold. Every belief that you hold. Examine every belief. Go to His Word and let Him reveal truths. That's a pretty bold statement. Because we have a lot of beliefs in here. I got a lot of passion for a lot of things. But is that passion really His Word? Some of it. I hope more than not. But the truth of it is it all. See, this is a continual thing. We work day by day. We work our salvation out day by day. Examine every belief you hold and you ask yourself, ask this through God's Word, is it a world belief or is it a Word belief? Only one letter difference. Drop the lie. Or you can say Lucifer. W-O-R-L-D. Once the lie came, now you got the world. The world's mindset. Before, first it was the Word. Right? John 1:1. In the beginning was the enemy came along and slid in there. Then we got the world. Is our belief world with lies of Lucifer? Or is it the Word of God? See, this is the beautiful picture. This is the beautiful measuring stick. This is the beautiful revealer of that. But it does no good. It just looks pretty on the podium or on my shelf. Or in my car. I even have 14 of them. And 15 of them won't make a difference. It only takes one reading it that will change our hearts. Amen? This is the word of the Lord for us today. Whew. It's a good thing you know that the words come from Him and not from me, because you guys would be mad at me. I'm thankful you're not mad. But I hope that we're all seeking to say, okay, God, what is it? Where is it? Where can I get better? Because I know I can get better. I know I have some old beliefs that I want to get out. I want to renew. I want to rewire my heart for you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Praise you, Lord. God, we hear the challenge. we realize the truth of, I might think I'm right, but I want to be righteous. I want to be in your right standing, God. So search me, O Lord, and know my heart. And if there's anything in me that you need out of me, reveal it to me. And then help me to do, to release, to let go of those beliefs, those thoughts. God, I want to taste and see that you're good. More importantly, I want to be a fragrance that reveals your goodness to those I come in contact with. God, I know that the world doesn't need more world. We need your word. We need your goodness. So we lay it down. And we accept you in this place. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today for your word, and we pray that we changed us somehow. That you planted the seeds of your truth, and now I pray that it would be watered by you and grow through you. God, as we ramp up in this series, and you begin to peel away the different things, the different places in our life where we can't keep, we'll recognize that it's for good, your good, our good, and we'll let it go. God, protect our minds and our hearts that as we walk through this surgery kind of a way thing, Father, I thank you that you hold us in your hands. And that will be better for it, strengthened. A little pruning here, a little pruning there will cause us to grow greater fruit. And thank you, Father, that you all of the while you walk with us. In this time, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for being an amazing God who cares about us, not only for eternity, but for right now. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. 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 God's good. Amen. Amen. I'm tired. Okay. Hallelujah. Grab eggs on your way out. Pray over, rebuke them. What do you got to do? Fill them up. Bring them here so we can reach our city. Amen? One of the many ways. Amen? Amen. I just pray a blessing over you in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against you in Jesus' name would prosper. Health and healing in this room, outside of this room, everywhere we go, because the Holy Spirit resides in us. Father, I thank you that everything we put our hand to prospers in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you help us in our challenge and you're with us all of the time. Father, we just give you praise and worship. We thank you for the healing of Cheryl, healing of John, healing of Betty, healing of every person that needs health and healing because it's your word. Now we'll begin to renew our mind to that truth. Even when we don't see it, we'll know it's true because your word is true. We declare it now in Jesus' name. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are blessing and you are dismissed in Jesus' name.